Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen, Father. We come before you today knowing that you truly are the King of Kings and no one else is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And so we lift you up this morning. We worship your holy name and we ask that you open our hearts and our eyes and our ears so that Dr. Stevens brings the word to us that we may hear and that you can speak to us through the words that he preaches today. It is in Jesus' name that we pray and all God's people say, amen.
Well, good morning, Second Mile.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you all again today. Now, I'm kind of a sports fan, but what I've learned is even pastors who are not sports fans learn an important thing. You should pay attention to what happens on Saturday, because it affects the way faces look on Sunday morning. Isn't that funny how that happens? It is good indeed to be with you today. We're going to be looking at a passage in God's Word in Romans today, Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at some teaching from the Apostle Paul that has direct impact on what we do here. What a joy it is to hear God's Word today. So I want to invite you, if you would, to turn to Romans 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 here. And if you are able today, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Would you pray with me? Father, we are indeed grateful to be in this place, worshiping you in spirit and in truth today. We pray, Father, for Pastor Cal as he recovers. May you continue to bring comfort and help him with the soreness that came with surgery. But I pray that not only physically, but spiritually, you'd also renew him in this season. Father, we are praying that as we've come together as a family of faith, that you might guide and direct everything that we say and do, that, Father, we might bring glory and honor to you. I pray that you might help us as a church family today to look at what you're saying to us and to be willing to follow you wherever you take us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have noticed that God and technology both have a little bit of a sense of humor. Now, here's what I mean by that. My wife Shirley's here. We've been married 38 years. And I have a little confession to make. Sometimes I don't listen to my wife. And I know that because sometimes she'll say something to me, and at the moment I think, oh yeah, I need to do that or whatever. And later on I can't remember what she said. Like It happens at the store all the time. And I find myself texting her, what was it I was supposed to pick up here, you know? So I have that issue. I know no other men in this place have that issue. But there's another thing. A lot of men don't like to ask for directions. Guess what technology did? Technology gave us something in which the default voice is a woman who tells you how to get where you need to go. Isn't that interesting? I find myself sort of caught between those two examples. I tell you that because I think it's so important sometimes for us to remember that it is important to get the right directions. And I think one of the things that you and I can safely do in Pastor Cal's absence is to talk about him a little bit behind his back, but not in a bad way. And so part of my role in working with the Cumberland Association is I often get brought in when churches are at a point of decision needing to figure out where they go from here, or sometimes where they're at a point of conflict and they're trying to figure out how to make their way through that. I know you've never heard of a Baptist church that ever had any conflict in it, okay? But I say that because sometimes what I find myself doing is saying, let's get back to the basics. What does God ask us to do as His people? What should we be doing? So this is a church that would honor God and also spread the gospel throughout our community in a greater way. And so it just occurred to me this week as I was thinking about this that one of the greatest things we could do in Pastor Cal's absence is to ask ourselves, what would help us to be the church that Cal would be so grateful to pastor because we've been willing to follow God's instruction about? And so I just want to share with you a few things from God's Word today that I think are so helpful if we will apply them. Because the real truth of the matter as you and I follow Jesus is that we ought to be radically impacted by the voice of God as we attempt to live out the Christian life. And so when you and I come in this place in the book of Romans, what we find is we are at one of four transition points in this great book of theology and really of the story of salvation, if you will. And so just real quickly, let me just give you the setup for that. There are four therefores in this book. The fourth of them is the one we read in verse 1 here. But each of them has significance in the book of Romans as Paul unrolls this tapestry. The first one is in chapter 3, verse 20, where he reminds us, therefore, that we are condemned because of our sin. But if you look at chapter 5 and verse 1, he's saying, therefore, we are justified because of what Jesus has done for us. You get to chapter 8, verse 1, and he's saying, therefore, we have assurance because of what he has done for us and how we have followed him. But when you get to chapter 12, verse 1, he now is not doing the theoretical part. He's doing the practical, how do you live it out part. And so he's saying, therefore, because of everything we've said up to now, this is how you live out life as a body of believers, as a church family, if you will. And so he begins to instruct us here with four things that are going to be helpful if you and I will look at each of them and think about the way that they apply to our lives today. And so I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 1. Therefore, referring to everything he said up to now, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, let's talk about that for just a moment. When we look at that passage, he is saying some things that are so helpful to us about how we apply his truth to our lives. And so one of the things that he's saying here in the very beginning is that we need to be called, or that we are called, to sacrificial giving. Now, certainly, I think that believers ought to be willing to give sacrificially, financially. But he's talking about something much deeper here as you and I obey Jesus. He's saying we need to be willing to sacrificially give the leadership of our lives over to Jesus. Church family, so often we get in trouble because we want a little bit of Jesus. We want a little Jesus to get us out of a traffic jam, if you will. We want a little bit of Jesus to get us through this crisis. We want a little bit of Jesus because we're worried about our kids. Listen, followers of Jesus don't just want a little bit of Jesus. And so what Paul is describing here is so helpful to us. The first thing I want you to see in this first section is he uses the word, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. The word present means to give once and for all. It is the sense that we have surrendered once and for all to Jesus. Now, obviously, none of us are perfect. There are times when each of us finds ourselves straying from time to time. By God's grace, though, he brings us back. But he's reminding us that God does not call us to give a little of the spare change of our lives over to him. He's asking not just for a sort of head knowledge of who he is, but he's asking us to live in relationship with the living Lord Jesus. And when we do that, God does amazing things. The second thing is not only does he ask us to present ourselves, our bodies, but notice that he says that we are to be a living sacrifice. Now think about that. Something that is dead is no longer useful. But when we look in Scripture, there are two examples of a living sacrifice. One of them is the story of Isaac. And so Abraham brought his son Isaac and was willing to put him on the altar, right? And guess what? God spared his son. And so he was able to walk away from there. He was able to have further life. But there's an even greater example of a living sacrifice, none other than Jesus. He went to the cross and died for us. But not only did he really die, but he really rose again. Amen? And so you and I serve a risen Savior. He was a living sacrifice, but he's not dead. He is alive, right? And so when we look at what he's saying to us, he's reminding us of the new birth here. You and I are to present ourselves once and for all. And when we do that, we are to be a living sacrifice, which means we are to live out our walk with Jesus. Oh, that you and I would not live out our walk with Jesus today the exact same way we did years ago. May we grow in him. May we learn how to walk in his path. And as you and I do that, he will change the direction of our lives because he can use us as we are surrendered to him. But then he uses another example, another word here to describe us. We're to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Literally, holy means to be set apart, to be different than. And you know, for me personally, I find that to be a great challenge, and here's why. How often our response and our reaction is to just want to blend in with culture. But God calls us to be different than culture. Let me give you one little example here. Lived in this area a long time, spent several years living in Christian County, now live here for the last several years in Clarksville. And, you know, every so often we see these folks, and they ride around in different kinds of vehicles. And they dress differently. And, well, they sort of keep to themselves in many ways. And you and I can recognize people, for example, who are Amish. Now, I only use it for this example. How easy it is to spot them. I wonder, are you and I living our lives in such a way that people can spot us as a follower of Jesus? Not because of the clothes that we wear, but because the way that we live, the choices that we make, the things that we stand for, the way in which we use the resources that have been entrusted to us, all the people would look at us and say, there's something different about that person. There's something about that person that I don't see in myself. All that you and I would point people to Jesus, not because we are perfect, because we are not, but because we are surrendered to Jesus. Holy. And then look at what else he says. Acceptable to God. Other translations say well-pleasing. It means that you and I ought to be people who are accountable. We're people in which God looks at us and calls us to obey, to follow him, and we make that a priority. Now, once again, none of us is perfect. I certainly am not. But there are times in my life when I've stepped off the path a little bit. And because I belong to Jesus, here's what happens. I feel the tug at my collar because I belong to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin and brings me back in the way. And so what happens, as Paul says, is we are well-pleasing because we are accountable. And he uses some examples of what that might look like. He speaks of being well-pleasing when he refers to the difference between Cain and Abel's offering. He uses the example of, he's sort of referring to a similar example as when Jesus watches the widow put a small offering into the temple. And as she does that, he points out she's given much more than she has right there. It's a way of saying Jesus recognizes whether or not we are playing games or whether or not we're following Jesus. He calls us to sacrificial giving. One quick example, and then I'll move on. I think one of the great struggles in marriage today in our culture is that we do not understand and comprehend the concept of sacrificial giving in marriage. I've had some life experiences that have put me up close with two great couples that I love. One are my in-laws and one are my own parents. I watched my father-in-law be the primary caretaker for my mother-in-law in some very difficult years of health of her life. She passed away a number of years ago and he passed away a year and a half ago. But one of the things I recognized in him is there are a lot of things I could say, oh, I wish he hadn't done this or done that or whatever. But he never forgot the commitment he made to his wife. And it carried through that surrender that oftentimes cost him lots of things, but he wanted to care for her. I see that now in my own parents. My dad is a primary caretaker to my mom, who's been in poor health for a good while. And I think about what a message about marriage that is, that really is based on what Jesus asks us to do, to be sacrificially giving. It can literally change the way we look at one another in marriage. There's a second thing I want you to see in this passage. He calls us not only to be called to sacrificial giving, but he calls us to be spiritually minded with God's ways. Look with me, if you would, at verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. Now we're going to stop right there. He gives us two examples of what we can be like. We can be people who are minded, or our minds are set by the world around us, or our minds can be set by Jesus. And so he's describing that when he says that you and I are supposed to be not conformed, or we're not supposed to be conformed to the ways of the world. Now, church family, hear me in this. We are constantly hearing things from the culture that tell us who we are. We are constantly hearing descriptions that come from everybody outside of the family of God about what we should be like or what our values should be or what kinds of things we ought to believe in or whatever it is. And I just want to tell you, what the world says and what God says very seldom match up. You know, it's amazing how when we look at what God teaches, there are lots of things that are legal that are not right in God's eyes. There are lots of things that are in this book that do not go along with the way our world chooses to live. And how often I have heard from those around me in life, well, you know, you just need to get with the times. Listen, the times belong to Jesus. And by the way, the story of His sacrificial gift to us does not end with an empty tomb, but there is a day in which He is coming again. And so we are reminded that God calls us not to be listening to the ways of the world. The problem with that is the ways of the world often come naturally to us. You just go with the flow. You do what your friends did and what those other folks at work or school or neighborhood, or whatever it is, do. And so what happens is we forget the fact that when we follow Jesus, He's calling us to begin to think differently. And so those two words, conform, means actually to be impacted from outside. But the transform word can be connected to our English word metamorphosis, or change from within. And so what happens is when you and I surrender to Jesus, He begins to change us from the inside out. Which, by the way, is a great lesson. Because there are some people who don't come to Jesus because their mindset is, when I get my life all cleaned up, I'll come to Jesus. That is wrong. You bring it all to the foot of the cross and let God sort it out. Because you and I can serve a God who can change everything about us. He transforms us from within. There is a sense in which He molds us and shapes us. But one of the reasons that it's so important to recognize that difference between conformed and transformed is we have to make sure that we are allowing the tools God has given us to be applied to our lives so we are shaped and molded according to His ways. Listen, God has given us His precious written word. And we need to be taking advantage of any way that we can so that we can take the word in. There's so many wonderful ways today. I joked earlier about technology, but one of the things I love about it is you can go to an app on your phone and it will read scripture to you. You can do all kinds of things where you are using time that might be downtime for something else to listen to biblical teaching and to the word being read to us, or certainly we can open the book, or we can see it with our own eyes. I just want you to be reminded, we are not going to be transformed until, first of all, we've had transfused into us God's word. It's also important to realize that you and I are not going to be transformed until we talk to Him. We need to spend regular time talking with Him. It is hard for me to be quiet and in the quiet. I don't know about you and your life, but there is noise all around us all the time. And it is amazing to me how when I can get still, God has a way of speaking loudly and clearly. And when we pray, He has ways of answering that we might never expect. All that you and I would recognize, that He wants to teach us how to apply His word, even as we think about what He's saying to us and what He's doing in us. Notice, by the way, that the purpose of being spiritually minded or being transformed is what? Well, it says that in verse 2, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He literally is saying, if you and I will allow ourselves to be transformed, it will help us to recognize when truth is truth and when a lie is a lie. And that's important because in our world, so often things are mixed together and we have to sort of sort it out with the discernment of God's Holy Spirit. And even sometimes when we think about what God wants in our lives personally, it's so easy for us to forget that God does have a way for us. And we need to not make decisions without talking to Him, without making sure we're listening carefully for His direction. We can test and approve those things that God approves of. How often that helps us, because when we speak to Him, He has a way of speaking to us in the most memorable of ways. I think one of the things that challenge us in our lives is that we need to make sure that we are allowing our conversations to not only be with people in the world, but also with people who are following God. It changes our direction. Third thing I want you to see, if you look at verse 3, is when we've been transformed, when we've surrendered to Him, He calls us to do something else. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed in him a measure of faith. Now catch this. For just as we have many members in one body, let's stop right there. What body is he talking about? The body of Christ. And so the third thing I want you to see is he calls us to be situated or fit into the body of Christ. We know, of course, if you've been around a Baptist church very long, you've heard this many, many times. The church is not the building, it's the people, right? Well, we know that. But here's the truth. We are living in a day and time in which it's so easy for people to be critical of the church. I was in this church and these people just were so ugly and they did this and this and this and it's just, you know, I don't want any part of that. And by the way, day to day, as I meet people, I hear that over and over again from people who are not in church. But you know what we have to be reminded of? The church was not man's idea, it was God's idea. And so when we look at that, we need to be reminded of this truth. We need each other. We need each other. You know, in the dark days that were COVID in our culture, it was so amazing for a few weeks as we oftentimes didn't meet, you know, in the building and all that kind of thing. It's amazing how quickly God's people missed each other. Why? Because we need each other. We need to encourage one another, walk with one another. And as we do that, it's amazing how what happens in us is we tend to our sort of batteries tend to run down when we're not around the encouraging presence of God's people. Are we perfect? No, we are not. But God made us as a body to fit together, which means, by the way, that all of us have been gifted spiritually. And if we've been gifted spiritually and we're laying out because we're upset at somebody, the church is handicapped. It is keeping us from being what God wants us to be. And so we need to sometimes just get over ourselves and be reminded that God calls us to go back and say, who am I surrendered to? Has He transformed me? Am I gifted to serve in some area or another? And all of us are. And if that's the case, it means we need to get back to doing what God has called us to do in being part of God's family. Now, a couple of verses that I just quickly read through just remind you of one quick thing. Pride is often at the root of problems between God's people. I could preach all day on that. I don't have time for that. I'm just going to tell you that. Pride is at the heart of a lot of the struggles that go on in a church. The fourth thing I want you to see is this. Look with me if you would. We all have gifts that allow us to serve. Gifts and opportunities. And so look with me if you would at verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. And he goes on to talk about service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, cheerfulness, with cheerfulness. And so I'm telling you that we can spend all day just talking about spiritual gifts, and I hope you'll do that. There are three great passages in Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. This one, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 5, Galatians 5, allow us to really look at the giftedness that God has for us. And so you ought to take time to look at that. But here's what I want you to hear me say. I deal with pastors all the time. And here's one of the struggles that I hear today. I am so tired of trying to get people to volunteer and help with stuff. I am struggling so much. Our people just, they want to be there, but they don't necessarily want to serve or do things. You know what? Somebody who's surrendered has transformed thinking and knows that we need to be situated in the church body is going to find a place to serve. And so when I think about what that means for you as a church family, God is calling all of Second Mile. And here's what he's saying. I want you to surrender to me. I want to begin to work on transforming your thinking. I want you to make sure you have a place in the local church. Quit criticizing it. Instead, try to make it right. And then I want you to use your gifts to serve as God leads you so we can carry out the great commission of Jesus Christ and reach Clarksville and the world for Jesus. I'm just crazy enough to believe that across our community, there are a lot of churches that if they followed that recipe, God could do and wants to do amazing things in and through them. But I just wonder this morning, are you and I where we ought to be? One quick thought, and then I want to bring this to an invitation. If you read the rest of this chapter, everything that I've talked about is really preparation, as Paul teaches here, for us not only to be the church, but to deal even with our enemies in the world around us. I tell you that because I want you to recognize this is not just whether or not we have this many in church or we're doing this or whatever. This is about impacting the world as salt and light. These are the A, B, and C's of really getting it. So you and I represent Him as we live out our lives in the world all around us, at work, in your neighborhood, in your family, in school, wherever it is. It makes a difference if we begin with Jesus. And I believe today God's calling each and every one of us here to be part of making this the church that God loves and is so proud of. God is rich in mercy and grace. Amen. May each of us be willing to be obedient because of that grace and mercy. Because He is a good God. And the church was not man's idea, it was God's idea. Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you could surrender everything about your life to Jesus today. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins, and wherever you are, you don't need to clean it up first. Turn it over to Jesus and allow Him to work on you. He will do amazing things as you trust Him and walk with Him. You can make that decision today. If you are here today and you are a part of Second Mile already, is it possible God is challenging you in some way or another to make sure that you are the church member God wants you to be? And maybe there's some here that just have a heavy burden on your heart and soul. You just need to pray. In a moment, we share the invitation. There'll be a prayer room right back here called the War Room, and you can go in there and pray. I'll be glad to pray with you down front here. But whatever the case, I just want you to know, you and I serve an awesome God. The quest is not whether or not He's awesome. It's whether or not we are surrendered. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father and God, I thank you so much for the opportunity we've had to open your word. You are so good. Thank you, your word was relevant back then and it is relevant today. I pray, Father, if there's a person here who needs to trust you as Lord and Savior, that you'd guide them in making that decision today, to have the courage to step out. Father, I pray that if there's a church member here and they just want to seek your will and direction about how they can serve you better through the local church, I pray that you'd help them to be willing to talk to you about that today. But Lord, help us always to be reminded that the foot of the cross, the invitation is always open to bring a prayer, a concern, or whatever our hearts need to share with you. Guide us that we'll have the courage to respond today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as God leads us today?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.